pleased to be joined right now by Steve Weisch, who I've known for many, many years, does an outstanding job covering the National Football League. You see him on NFL Network and all over NFL media, and he was just in Ashburn with the Commanders over the weekend, so we wanted to tap into his expertise. Steve, it's Grant and Danny here in D.C. Thank you so much for the time. How you doing?
Grant and Danny, thanks for having me, man.
Pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you. So I know you've been busy making the rounds. We'll talk about some of your other stops, but one of the things I love doing is having the national reporters on because you've got other camps to juxtapose Washington to. What were some of your observations being around Dan Quinn's operation over the weekend?
Yeah, you know, first off, when I was there, they weren't in pads yet. I think today was their first day in pads. So, you know, when you see these teams, you know, basically going through touch football, you look at kind of how they pace their practice, how they, you know, during kicking game, what are other guys doing over to the side? And you see Dan Quinn, he runs a really organized and sharp choreographed practice, right? It's not very long. So guys are always doing something to do recognition drills, you know, quarterback recognizing coverages or alignments, offensive linemen doing things to recognize different types of games defensive fronts will run, and so on and so on. So you saw that. You saw the pace of it. So overall, I mean, that was kind of, you know, really good to watch. I mean, no surprise. He did in Atlanta. This is a Super Bowl coach. He had one of the best defenses for years in the NFL in Dallas by doing things this way. But, of course, you know, all eyes are on Jaden Daniels in that quarterback situation. In the day I was there, it was weird. The offense had four pre-snap penalties and team drills and things like that. So it's a little sloppy. But in terms of Jaden, you can just see the talent. Now it's going to be how they mesh his skill set into how Cliff Kingsbury wants to run this offense.
So, Steve, what do you make in general, because you've been doing this for a minute now, of kind of the trend lines in terms of preseason, training camp? I mean, I'm old enough to remember two-a-days in the heat and everybody, you know, their heads were ringing and it was like water is for quitters. Obviously, it's a different time now. where does Washington sort of fit into that spectrum of kind of the new school?
I mean, it's very much similar. That's all across the NFL. I mean, because it's with the NFL, it's, you know, the trend word you've heard the past 3 or 4 years is the ramp up period. And so you see that kind of going, you know, one, make sure to take care of these guys, ramp them up so they're not pulling hamstrings on day four of camp and stuff like that. So they're right in alignment with that. I mean, nothing different than most teams.
Steve, you left off your answer on Daniels by saying it's about now fitting in with Kingsbury. I don't know if you got to talk to Cliff, but what did you figure out about their relationship and how that fit is going?
Yeah, I didn't get to talk to Cliff, but everything I'm hearing is it's great. You know, you always hear about quarterbacks being the first one in, the last one out. That's the standard operation. It's news when you hear otherwise, right? So he's a gym rat. They've given him the key fob as to where he can get in the building at all hours and study film. That's something that I found out in talking to some of the coaches because, you know, at LSU, they wouldn't allow people in the building after a certain time, but he was always trying to sneak in. Well, you know, that's something the Commanders found out in their pre-draft process, and once they draft him, they're like, here, you can come in and look at film and do everything you need to do at all the time. So he's going to work. So now the collaboration with Cliff, who's a great guy to get along with, right? You know, he really works quarterbacks. And so that relationship, you know, seems very good for now. It's now a matter of Cliff figuring out what they want to do with Jaden, what they want to do with the pass game versus the run game, and things like that. And that's what has to be worked out during training camp and the preseason, because we know Cliff historically likes to throw the ball more than he likes to run it. But when you've got a rookie quarterback with an offensive line that's still kind of in flux, you may want to flip the script a little bit and pound it a little bit more than you're throwing it if the situations in the game allow.
Steve Weisch, NFL Network, with us here on Grant and Danny. I wanted to follow up on that about Kingsbury. We don't know. Like, we've seen air raid stuff, obviously, going back to Texas. We saw kind of a modified version of that in Arizona, and you mentioned some of the running totals when you have Kyler Murray. That certainly helps that, right? But they line up in shotgun. Is that because Kyler Murray's, you know, 5'6", 5'7", or is it just because that's what he likes? What's this offense going to look like? Go deeper into that, Steve, do you think?
Yeah, that's going to be what we all need to be watching because, as you mentioned, when it was Kyler Murray in Arizona, and I spent a lot of time down there when Kyler was a rookie, That's what Kyler was used to. He was, you know, and he is smaller. And a lot of times these smaller quarterbacks, you put him in shotgun so they can see the field pre-snap and make their predetermined reads. What I saw when I was out there Saturday with Jaden is that he would under center, shotgun, pistol. So they're running three different formations with him. And so these are things that will allow them to do things in the run game with Brian Robinson and Austin Ekeler. There are things that will allow Jaden Daniels to do things with his legs, whether it's rollout, bootleg, keepers, RPOs, you know, and if they're just going to play some standard under the center football. And again, this is the stuff over the next couple of weeks. Everyone who's there need to really keep an eye out on, okay, what really works, what works in what situations, what's Jaden most comfortable in? Because I think you're going to see them use all three of these types of formations depending on what personnel is in the game.
Steve Wyche, NFL Media and NFL Network with us here on Grant and Danny. Just came through Ashburn at Commanders Camp, wanted to tap into what he learned about Washington. I saw you guys had a sit-down with Austin Ekeler, which brings me to one of the other big storylines here. I mean, this is a very new roster. They signed over 20 players, many of them to 1 or 2 year veteran deals, may or may not be around long term, but to fix the culture a little bit. How much tread do you think Ekeler has left on the tires? What kind of role do you envision for him?
It'll be the same type of role that he had with the Chargers when they had Melvin Gordon. You know, Melvin was a big, powerful back, much like Brian Robinson, could hit the home run. Ekeler comes in third down, you know, second and long, certain types of situations, because this is a guy who's dynamic in the open field. I mean, last year he was slowed down some by an ankle injury, wasn't nearly as effective as they wanted him to be. But, you know, you look at the two different body types as well. I mean, that is what you call the change of pace, as they like to say. Plus, you can flex Ekeler out, you know, as a flanker, slot type guy. So he still adds a lot. Yeah, he's a guy who's got some tread, but he's also a guy who wasn't getting 320 touches a year either. So he will absolutely be a matchup problem, especially when you got a dual threat quarterback like you do.
What about, and similar question here, Zach Ertz? He seems to be popping in training camp a lot. I think a lot of us in town kind of assumed he gets hurt a lot. He's going to be a good mentor for the young quarterback. I mean, is there any chance he's still a really impactful, high-volume, targeted player in the passing game?
You know, that's a great question. Because when I was talking to Dan Quinn before practice, he said, you know, Zach Ertz is such a glue guy. You know, he's one of those veterans. And, you know, like you mentioned, they brought a lot of guys on these one-year deals to help the culture. Like, he's one of those guys. And he was saying the one thing we're seeing, and again, this is before they put the pads on, was that he still got it, like in the red zone areas and things like that. He's not going to be someone they're necessarily going to count on to be their every down guy, but situationally, if he stays healthy, that's the issue, the durability issue. If he stays healthy, he's going to be able to contribute. So, look, what they're trying to do, and it seems like it's going to be a slow build, I think they're going to be competitive just because Dan Quinn tends to really turn things around quickly in terms of this culture and building and just getting guys in the right mindset. But having a guy like Zach Ertz to be a bailout for a young quarterback, that's huge. And so I think that's another important cog that they were very methodical and particular about when they put this roster together.
Steve, one more on Washington before we go to some of the other stops that you've had on your tour here. Off mic, maybe off air, right? You're talking to coaches, talking to players. I know we've had, Grant and I have been lucky enough to be able to do that here locally in town, whether it's GMs or managers, coaches, et cetera. Sometimes they just can't stop gushing about somebody. Like, wait till you see, wait till you see, wait till you see. Anybody like that come up here for Washington that maybe we're not thinking of out in the public eye just yet that they just couldn't stop talking about?
Well, Frankie Louvu is one of them. And St. Just at corner. You know, they said we're going to talk about some other guys. You know, Jeremy Chinn is someone. Some of the defensive guys who really pop. Bobby Wagner, of course. But we know the secondary is an area, you know, of concern, that linebacker crew. But Louvu and St. Juice were some names that absolutely came up a few times in some of the conversations I had.
The chief national reporter at NFL Network, Steve Wyche. NFL Network's inside training camp coverage airs daily through August 7th. They're in the meat of it right now. It starts each day at 12 noon Eastern. All right, Steve, I want to hit a couple of the other teams that you visited with. I know right after Washington, you hit the Ravens. I don't know if you were there after Lamar Jackson got back on the field from his illness, but buy or sell this. With the Bengals getting Burrow back, the Browns being tough customers, adding Mike Vrabel to their staff, some of the moves they made, and then also, you know, the Steelers, their quarterback situation's in flux, but all they do is win 10 games under Tomlin every year. Brutal division. I think that the schedule for the Ravens is really difficult. Their quarterback schedule is one of the most arduous in football. They lost a ton on their defensive coaching staff and some players on that side of the ball. I think they could take a step back. It doesn't seem like anybody nationally is really predicting that. What do you make of that?
I don't see it. I don't see it. I mean, I was fortunate enough to be there yesterday when they were in pads. It was a grueling 3-hour practice. You know,
3 hours?
Was the second almost 3 hours. You know, that's including kicking game and whatnot. So, you know, you're doing special teams and breaks. But it was one of those things where Harbaugh is like, okay, let's see what you got. And they're loaded, man. Their roster, you know, they've got to work through replacing three starters on the offensive line. Right? But, you know, they lose someone, inside linebacker Patrick Green to Pittsburgh. Trenton Simpson's right there. That's the dude everybody's talking about. Yeah, we got Roquan Smith. He's the superstar, but his Robin is no joke. So, you know, look, the division being great, that's nothing new, right? It's been this way for a couple years. You know, Cleveland's been on the come up. Cincinnati's played in a Super Bowl. You know, the Steelers are the Steelers. This is nothing new. So we can sit here and say, wow, this looks bad. This is challenging for the Ravens. They're the standard, right? When we talk, when we in the media and whatnot talk about, oh, what teams do you think are going to get back to the Super Bowl? You know, Kansas City, you know, Detroit, San Francisco. We never mention the Ravens because we just anticipate them being there because they're there every year. They're always in the hunt. And I think that's going to be the case this year. Yeah, sure, they could take a step back because the division's good, but those teams also have to play Baltimore. So I think getting Derrick Henry and being able to do some things offensively that they haven't done before are, you know, in the second year of Todd Monken is going to open some things up. But I think defensively, they're still going to be right there among the top two or three best teams in the NFL.
Steve, I know you've been to Chargers camp as well. Speaking of Harbaugh's, I just imagine you could just sit down and leave a tape recorder behind and Jim Harbaugh would fill it up for hours and hours with his own musings and like passion sayings about life and stuff. What'd you make of that group that's also kind of in transition?
Yeah, if you were to leave the tape on with Jim Harbaugh, if you can figure out what point A to point B to point C to point D means, man, you have solved all the world's problems. Look, it's going to be interesting with the Chargers because Jim Harbaugh knows how to win. Like, you watch them practice, you talk about structure, and you talk about just a great formula. It is a beautiful thing to watch. From the fact that he hasn't worn their game uniforms at practice because he wants them on game days to feel just like they did in practice. It's a real unique kind of deep thought, but it's simplistic as well. You know, it's a year in transition. They're probably going to win more games than they had last year. Their quarterback is just a stud. But when you look at their offensive skill position, you're saying to yourself, well, you know, they're counting on J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, two guys with durability issues coming over from the Ravens. Those are the running backs. You know, Harbaugh wants to run the ball. You know, they also have Isaiah Spiller there who couldn't really crack the rotation much in his 2 years prior. Defensively, I mean, their defensive front is great. You still have Bosa and Mack. You know, people forget that Khalil Mack had like 16 and a half sacks last year, but he's still playing at an elite level. They've got some standout linebackers, some really good guys in the secondary. So, you know, this is to me the foundational kind of plant your flag in the ground year. They're probably going to be close to 500, and then they're steadily going to build. You know, with Jim Harbaugh, again, he wins everywhere he goes, and he wins to the highest level. Are they going to eventually usurp Kansas City? We'll see. It may take some time, but I don't think this will be the year. I don't think this is going to be the team that all of a sudden is going to make that Houston Texans type of jump just because of the skill position and playmaker type of guys. You just don't see it like you see with other real competitive teams.
You also broadcast an inside training camp from Raiders camp. Who's going to be their starting quarterback? Is it going to be Gardner Minshew they brought in or Aiden O'Connell, who was the guy at second half of last year?
Doesn't sound like Antonio Pierce right now is thrilled with the situation. You know, in a conversation I had with Antonio Pierce a couple months ago, he said everything runs through Aiden O'Connell. And when I was there, which was the first or second day of camp, it was Aiden O'Connell getting the majority of snaps. But you heard Antonio Pierce come out, you know, before they got the pads on today and say, okay, enough of the competition. Will somebody please seize the role? And to me, it's not so much as who's the better player, but who's going to get the other 10 guys in the huddle to play hard for them. And that's, you know, that's the big thing there under Luke Getsy, the old Bears OC, longtime Packers coach who was with Devontae Adams in Green Bay. You know, he's the new OC. Now he wants one of these guys to get a little bit more cutthroat and take it. I think when push comes to shove, it'll be Aiden O'Connell. But we'll see how long that lasts. We'll see if he finishes the season.
Steve, I know you're headed to Detroit next. They don't play outside until November 3rd, by my count, at Green Bay. And they play
that?
Yeah, only three games outside all year.
How's that possible?
Rams, Bucks home, Cardinals dome, Seattle at home. Dallas dome, Vikings dome, Tennessee home at Green Bay November 3rd.
That's got to be a record.
Yeah, and only three outside games all year at Green Bay, at Chicago, and at San Fran.
Let Goff cook.
I think this is good. Like, I don't think people are talking enough about this. They're going to be like those Breeze Saints teams and score a million points.
Well, look, this is why you or the old Tony Dungy Colts team. I mean, this is why you build your team a certain way to get a lead, and then you turn your defense loose. The thing is, they don't have Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis, right? Or they don't have, you know, Will Smith and some of those guys that the Saints had to really get after the quarterback. But what they do have is a mashing ground game. You know, people don't talk enough about that because you look at Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta and a lot of the receiving threats that they have. But, you know, when you see Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery and the way that Ben Johnson, man, he'll line up two tight ends and have two running backs out there on third and 10, the team's in nickel defense. They're like, we got our big boys in here. We're going to run it for 12 yards on you. Right? They've got one of the best play designers and personnel schemers in the NFL. They're loaded with talent. You look at what the money that they have invested in their offensive line. You know, they just paid Penei Sewell. They just paid Taylor Decker. They've got Frank Ragnow at center. They get Kevin Zeitler in there at guard. They're ready to mash, even though they are built to be an indoor football team, which, again, you think a team's throwing the ball all over the place. They are built to play in any type of climate or any type of surface. And I think they are really knocking on the door to make a push to the Super Bowl. They were there last year. They just couldn't hang on against the Niners in the NFC Championship.
Steve, I always enjoy our conversations, and hopefully we'll cross paths this football season in person as well. Thank you so much for the time, and enjoy the rest of your camp coverage. It's been really good.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Take care.
Thank you, Steve.
Be well. There's Steve Weisch, one of the good guys in the industry.